Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Welcome to the Performing Arts Channel of New Books Network. I am your host today, Renee Garris, and it is my absolute pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Adesola Akinle. She is the editor and curator of the book Reclaiming Ballet, published by Intellect in the UK this year. This book contains a collection of essays that examine the white, cis, heteropatriarchal history of ballet and how many dancers and choreographers are grappling with this history. It has started some very important conversations about the role of ballet today and how this art can thrive within the beauty of difference. Adesola, welcome to the podcast. I would like to begin by having you tell our listeners something about your background and what brought you to this project.
Hi, it's lovely to be here. Thank you. So I'm a choreographer and a dancer. So my background's in movement, but I've also gone on to sort of choreograph words into books. So I feel like I sort of come to writing from that sort of movement analogy. I'm a dancer, and I studied a sort of classical contemporary like Graham and Cunningham, and also ballet. And I've come to I came to write this book because in my world, as a black female ballerina, there isn't a lot of my world isn't around cis straight white men. And it's a rich world that I'm in, with many people and histories and things that are going on. And so I wanted to bring together a book that didn't really focus on that mainstream picture, but actually just celebrated and explored and talked about and gave voice to the many things that are going on with ballet outside that narrow group of people. And that's because I think ballet is a beautiful, interesting way of expressing yourself, and sometimes people are only limited to knowing it through that straight white male lens. So the book's there to give us some new perspectives on bring into realization how many people contribute to ballet and the wealth of artwork that's going on beyond that mainstream focus.
Absolutely. And there are many great chapters, essays in the book that really do explore that. Was it a unique challenge for writing and editing about dance? It's such a visual art.
That's a good question. I think that it's a visual art. The sort of the aesthetic of it is something that we focus on a lot. But as an art form in your body, it's a felt, it's multi-sensory, in that your body, even when watching something, responds or feels something within the sort of felt sensation of yourself. And then there's movement is made meaning, even as we're watching it, movement is made meaningful to us through our own memory of movement sensation. So one of the things that possibly expands people's engagement with ballet is to be able to move away from just seeing it as there to create a single aesthetic. So, you know, if you think of ballet and then all you do is think of how do I build this single aesthetic that often, again, is sort of quite mainstream looking. But actually ballet is a bigger, and dance in general is a much bigger multi-sensory experience that we have when we're engaging with it or watching it. So writing about the moving body is challenging, but I think that if you write about it from many perspectives, then you get a sense or an inkling of the felt experience of that. And that's why there are so many, I think there are 17 different contributions to the book, so which gives us this sort of multidisciplinary and multi-perspective, gets us a little bit closer to what it's like to feel movement.
Absolutely. There were some great chapters. One in particular, I don't quite remember the author who talked about how she didn't have the typical dancer's body, and yet she was a dancer. So I loved how several of the chapters really pushed back on what that perfect body, what people think of as dancer bodies, and how the authors of the essays related their own experiences. It was beautiful. And I like that you started the book like on page one saying, this is about healing rather than a critique. And I like that because so many ballet books now are a bit salacious. They want to grab headlines and talk about some of the really dark sides. And there are dark sides, absolutely. Would you like to talk about the healing part of this book a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that chapter, I think you're referring to Mary Savard's chapter, and it's called Tracing My Ballet Body. And the funny thing about that is that I think probably everyone that has done ballet feels like they haven't got that perfect body, because the whole point of the perfect body is that it's unattainable in a way. So that book, that particular chapter is looking at the healing that comes from the trauma of not really ever feeling good enough. And I think that is how ballet can move forwards, which is not kind of focusing on the traumas, but on the positive healing. I've been like looking at that from a, in general, as we kind of all get better from things like COVID, that if you, the more that you speak to yourself or your internal dialogue is around the things that you're trying to get away from, the more substantial they become, because thinking about things and constructing things in your head, your body wants to do what your head's constructing. So you're giving more energy and power to the thing that you're trying to change. Whereas starting to kind of draw attention to and construct and make vibrant and joyous the things that you want something to change into, or that you see in something and that maybe other people don't see yet, that gives power and energy to that thing. So the book is not about putting energy into the more negative areas of ballet. It's about bringing color and life to the joyful areas of ballet, which in a sense exist in contrast to that trauma, but that doesn't mean that we need to give more attention to that negative energy than it's due. I think that healing at the moment is a sort of global necessity, as we notice the sort of flesh of the earth and the flesh of each other, you know, is coming into balance with that is an important thing. So in that sense, the book is about ballet, but as I feel all dance is, that is just a sort of microcosm or a lens for understanding how we move in the world. How do we move with each other in togetherness in the world? When you're dancing, you learn how to be in the moment, in the nowness of being together with everything, the stage, the lights, the other dancers. And for me, that's a microcosm of how to be in the world in a good way, in interaction and in response to the world around. And so as we're sort of thinking more and more about how do we make that a healing space, how do we engage with each other in a healing space, in the micro of the ballet studio or in the macro of the living organism of the world, I think that puts the ideas in the book beyond just ballet gazing at its own navel, or ballet kind of just chiding itself for not being nice, but actually about contributing further beyond the dance studio walls.
I couldn't agree more. And I have to say, in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, watching dancers come back into studios, beginning to rehearse again rather than on video, but in the same space, there is certainly a lot that is going on. And so I agree, healing is something that we all need to do anyway, but especially post-COVID, or as we're moving through COVID. I don't think we're post-COVID by any means, but yes, I completely agree that that dance is a healing art form. And yes, your book is micro and macro at the same time. So very nice. There was one chapter, or actually there are a couple of chapters, but there was a chapter that Sandy Bourne wrote about the portrayals of Black people from the African diaspora in Western narratives. I have to say, a lot of this information was new to me. And not that I'm some brilliant scholar on all of ballet, I was really intrigued by this chapter. As a dancer of color, how did you relate to that chapter?
Yeah, Dr. Bourne's chapter is really about suggesting that the sort of the Black body has been present throughout, because we live in a interconnected world, and most certainly, you know, in this Europe, in this from the 1600s onwards, Black bodies were a part of the economy and the society. So, just to sort of say that we can't be not separate, we can't separate ourselves from each other. You know, we live in a global world, and we have lived in a global world. So her chapter really kind of underlines where there are traces of the existence of Black people in ballet. Obviously I've read the chapters a lot of times as I was putting the book together and things, but so after reading that work, I was thinking about paintings, where often in galleries, paintings are critiqued for where are the Black woman in this painting, as you sort of see a white man standing with his horse or whatever the kind of thing is that he feels really proud that he owned, or in a room. And it made me think, oh, actually the Black woman's presence is in the tidying of the table and the arrangement of the flowers and in the sewing of the clothes. You know, that there's a presence of all the people and things that brought that moment together. So although you could find that there's a sort of invisibilization, but that invisibilization can't be an erasure, because there's an impact that we've had. And the people that are being invisibilized, there's an impact that they have. And I feel like her chapter is about saying, look, although it's not, people are sort of as if they were invisibilized out of ballet, that the mainstream idea is that it's all a sort of white aesthetic, that what brought that aesthetic about and what supported it and what made it, and there's a presence.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. Always the presence, even if it's unseen, invisible, as you said. Absolutely. There's always been the presence of color within the white aesthetic. Absolutely. I really loved how the book sort of began to talk about what the future is, and whether that's discussing binary roles or non-binary roles, and adding, decolonizing, if you will, the repertoire. Is there something you would like to speak to that?
Yeah, I think the across the book there are examples of people and organizations that have been going for a long time in the sense that people now are sort of thinking, oh, let's decolonize that, or how can we acknowledge the contribution of queer artists. But these are organizations that have been doing that for the last 60, 70 years, or the last 30 years, long time, well embedded in their communities, geographically and also in terms of identity. And that seems important because as we move forward, often people expect us to move forwards in this sort of deficit model of trying to backfill something that's missing. And what the book's trying to do is say it's not missing, it's just that we need to, recognize that it's there. So I think as for the future, part of that is for the next generation to not feel that they're having to create something from scratch, to really make available and show where there is this deep-rooted, nutritious history that can help them move into the challenges of the 21st century and move into the multiple identities, queer identities, non-white identities, and not feel that they're doing that for the first time or alone, because I think that's how you undermine a group of people by trying to present them as if they're historyless or that they're not connected.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I would like to ask you if you have any other projects that you are working on, any other forthcoming books?
Yeah, funnily enough, around the same time as Reclaiming Ballet was published, I also published a book called Dance, Architecture and Engineering, Dance in Dialogue. And that was coming out of 2 years of workshops and choreography and performances, working with architects and engineers, and looking at our shared interest in the idea of place. So what I was saying earlier about sort of usness and the moment of now that I feel dance explores or opens the door to, that we're, the cities and the societies that we create from the cities that we create also engage in creating a space for us to live and move through. And so that book is about what dance and choreography can bring, the knowledges of within dance and choreography, how they can kind of bring to the table where decisions and policy and design for how we live together through city building, where those decisions are made, how we bring the felt experience of the body to the static, maybe more static policy or design of the city.
That sounds fascinating, but I hope you will join us again so we can discuss that book.
Yeah, thank you. That would be great.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Akinleye.
Thank you.